Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Today marks exactly 6 weeks since a series of gas explosions and fires hit the Merrimack Valley, killing one person. Still, thousands of people are waiting for gas to be restored. Out of more than 8,400 residences and businesses that have gone without heat or hot water since the September 13th explosions, only 842 have had their service restored. And with temperatures dropping and a weekend nor'easter in the forecast, people are increasingly anxious about Columbia Gas meeting that November 19th deadline that it promised to restore all service. Lori Howe is Operations Director at Family Services of the Merrimack Valley, and she says many people have urgent needs.
There was a woman who came in who had an infant who was premature, had a heart condition, and was in very frail health, and simply could not go back to a cold house anymore, but did not have the resources to stay in a hotel or to get warm food or any of the things that she would need to take care of her baby.
Boston Globe reporter Milton Valencia has been following this story, and he's on the line now. Milton, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You're actually in the Globe studio, we should say. You're not on the line. But first of all, you've been following this. You've been up in the Lawrence area. Tell us what it looks like up there.
It very much is what the mayor of Lawrence, Mayor Dan Rivera, has called a disaster zone. This isn't just about having gas, a gas stove. It's very much the construction work that's going on. There are dozens of projects happening at any given time. Roads are blocked. People can't navigate. There are detours all around. And just imagine trailers. You mentioned alternative housing that's set up. Imagine a bunch of trailers set up on what would be our Boston Common. Really, it's what the mayor has called the disaster recovery effort. And it's not about having gas or not having gas. It's all the side effects that are coming with it.
Right. So now state officials, lots of people are questioning whether this November 19th deadline that Columbia Gas set to restore service can actually be met. What do you think is happening now? Is that, based on what you're seeing, does it seem unlikely that that's going to happen, that Columbia Gas is going to be able to meet that deadline to restore service? And what's the big delay, do you think?
It seems very unlikely, to be clear. And the delay is something that even the mayor of Lawrence has said was somewhat unexpected. I think Joe Albanese, he's the person who was tapped by Columbia Gas to lead that restoration effort. Mm-hmm. He came in with an objective to replace 48 miles of pipeline. At that time, no one thought it could be done. It seems that will be done. What was unexpected is the work inside the home that people inside the homes that inspectors need to review and in some cases fix. There are homes that are out of code. There were pre-existing conditions in some of these homes. The mayor and the town managers of North Andover have demanded new appliances, making sure that everything is done safe inside the home. But as inspectors are going in, what they thought would be a half day's work of replacing a boiler and a gas stove is turned into 2 days worth of work as they're fixing infrastructure and bringing houses up to code. So it's that specific work that is taking a lot longer than they anticipated.
Right. Now, Columbia Gas did say it's going to be hosting these community meetings in Lawrence and Andover and North Andover this weekend. What do you think is the reason for that? Do you think we'll hear news from Columbia Gas in those meetings?
I think Columbia Gas is really trying to play it day by day. There's a lot of confidence in Joe Albanese, the person who was brought in, but there's a lot to handle here. Like I said, this isn't just about replacing pipeline and turning on a gas switch. There have been a lot of communications issues with residents, where, again, you mentioned 8,300 metered customers. That translates into thousands of residents and family members who really don't have information that they need. They're resorting to housing, alternative housing, as it gets the weather gets colder. And Maura Healey, Attorney General Maura Healey, sent representatives to meet with Columbia Gas today to demand more answers on behalf of some of those residents who, again, don't have information about when their gas will be restored, don't have information about what hotel they can stay at. Some families are staying at hotels in New Hampshire because there are no other hotels around. So I think Columbia Gas's efforts really to communicate residents have been an issue since day one, and I think they're really hosting these meetings to say, look, we're trying to get this all together, and this is what we know at this time. There is confidence now in what's being done, confidence by the mayor, by the town managers. They tell me that they rest assured, but it's been a while to get there.
Confidence in Columbia Gas.
Confidence in Columbia Gas, not only in the restoration effort, but in that communication with residents. Again, residents don't know when their gas is being turned on. They don't know where they can stay. So I think that there's a lot of unanswered questions on all ends, and I think that's part of the reason for these community meetings this weekend.
Now, the state has also set up some emergency loan assistance for businesses in particular. What's happening there? What's happening with the businesses?
So there are a lot of businesses that are also affected, and this is, you know, a ripple effect. If one business is closed, another business is affected as well. So what has happened is Columbia Gas has set up a claims process for some of these businesses to seek long-term losses, but there are immediate, you know, damages and immediate needs of some of these businesses. So several banks have stepped forward for a no-interest loan, short-term no-interest loan, where they can seek, you know, ways to kind of mitigate some of these problems that they're having with these quick loans to address so that they can process this and help rebound and help survive, really, while they're waiting for their claims to go through Columbia Gas.
Okay.
We're talking millions of dollars here, millions
right,
of losses.
Right. So you say it looks like not November 19th. I mean, any idea, or is anyone who would be able to make such a prediction? Have you spoken with anyone who would be able to say it's probably more like beginning of December or end of the year or anything like that, Milton?
There were three ways to look at it, and no one here's the difficult thing is no one thought that the gas pipeline would be restored by November 19th, and now it looks like that will be. The bigger question is how many plumbers and how many technicians can they pull in to do this real manpower effort that's needed to go into these individual homes.
Right.
As of right now, if they're going at the rate they're going right now, we're talking several more months. But Columbia Gas is looking to ramp up that manpower as more houses become cleared, that manpower is being redirected. So it's tough to say, but judging by the work that's being needed to fix these code issues that was unanticipated, November 19th is not likely in my view, but hopefully as the weather, cold weather arrives, it won't be that much longer.
All right. Boston Globe reporter Milton Valencia, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We want to turn now to someone who has had an up-close look at how these explosions are continuing to affect families in the Merrimack Valley. Linda Harvey is the chair of a group called Debbie's Treasure Chest. It provides clothing, toys, and toiletries to at-risk families. Linda, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So tell us, I understand Debbie's Treasure Chest, your group, was helping families immediately after these explosions. Can you tell us what you've done so far and what it looks like now?
Sure. So right after the explosion, our landlord, Marianne Nadell, who owns the Everett Mills, gave us 20,000 square feet to set up, to sort the clothing and the donations and the toiletries that we had. And seven of us from Debbie's Treasure Chest just put it together in about 3 hours. And the senior center in Lawrence has just been on the front lines. People start at the senior center, and then they were sent over to us. So I would say within the first 11 days of the incident that we gave out, and this is only the ones we kept track of, probably over 3,000 bags of clothing and toiletries and blankets to folks, and we had over 350 volunteers. There are less people coming in now, but the need is very, very great. I mean, it's cold.
Right,
it's
right.
Really cold.
Right. Is there any family that stands out in your mind?
There are so many families. I think for me, the families that really stand out are the ones that came in for donations and came back to volunteer because they were so grateful. One particular story sticks in my mind. It was a young family. It was a mother. A baby was about a week old. She was with her mother, so the grandmother was there and her 9-year-old child, and they came in the day after the incident, and all they wanted was a blanket because they felt it was a little too cold at the shelter. They were staying at one of the school shelters. So when they came in, we made sure that they got a lot more clothing and diapers and some snacks, and we had some young children also volunteering, and they went up to the little 9-year-old and said, "Why don't you come get some toys?" And she said, no, I don't need toys. Let somebody else get them. Hmm. So they convinced her to take the toys to bring back to the shelter to play with other kids. And that family came back the next day, and we thought that they were there just to get more things because they took so little. But they all came back to volunteer. So this is the kind of community Lawrence is.
Right. Pay it forward, right?
It is. Yeah. Pay it forward. It just people from all over. I mean, we had over 350 volunteers. We had mothers with babies attached to them. We had 5-year-olds sorting clothes. Mm-hmm. It was just unbelievable.
So when you hear like this November 19th deadline, maybe the pipeline will be back, as we just heard from Milton Valencia from the Boston Globe. Maybe we'll have the pipeline in at that time. But, you know, it might take months to try to make sure that all the necessary repairs are done so things start to at least seem normal. How do you think people will fare with that, Linda?
I don't think they'll do well. I mean, the holidays are coming. It's a hard time for so many people. So I think it's going to be very difficult. A lot of kids are really cold. A lot of parents are using resources for things that they wouldn't normally use resources for, so they don't have certain things. I know we're doing a huge coat drive that we usually don't do till November, but we're doing it now just so we can get children and adults with coats. A lot of these kids get so nervous when they're being evacuated from schools because there's a smell of gas. Mm. You know, these kids, they've left their homes. Who wants to live in a hotel room? It's not fun after the first couple of nights.
Right.
And they're living 30 miles away, some of them, in Manchester.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be home and get outside and play with your friends, and the disruption is just unbelievable. So I don't know. I know Lawrence will survive because it's that type of community, and the mayor is doing just a magnificent job, but he can only do so much. There's just so many after effects. I heard yesterday of a friend, they were digging the hole near her house to fix the gas, and the hole was too big, so her entire basement was flooded.
Oh, my gosh.
So who fixed that?
Who fixed that?
We just don't know.
Lots of consequences from this. It's not just about the gas. Well, Linda Harvey, chair of Debbie's Treasure Chest, a charity that's been giving supplies to families in the Merrimack Valley. Linda, thanks for what you do, and thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. Again, keep it up.
Okay.
Bye
now. And as we mentioned, Columbia Gas is processing about 21,000 claims from these explosions, and many of those claims are from local businesses. Among those local businesses is Carlene's Coffee Shop in Lawrence, which remains closed even now, 6 weeks later. Earlier today, we talked with Carlene's owner, John Farrington, about how he's been coping and about what it was like for him on September 13th.
Right in front of my restaurant is where the gas came up through the street.
So what's it been like in these weeks since it happened?
It's been a roller coaster. I came down the next morning at 3 a.m., snuck in through one of the back roads, and it was surreal. I mean, it was hundreds of fire trucks, hundreds of gas workers, police, all walking house to house. And from then, it went on to the realization that I had to throw away $8,000 to $10,000 of the food. Then to realize it wasn't just a couple of day thing. It was going to be a month and a half. So it's been just, you know, a slow motion wreck.
Can you describe your business, Carlene's Coffee Shop, and how long you've been in business?
Yeah, it's a family business. I bought it off my parents 20 years ago. Started 35 years ago, and just a nice little breakfast, lunch, diner.
How many people do you employ?
18 full-time and part-time.
So you've been closed ever since September 13th?
Yes.
What about your employees? What have they been doing?
Actually, you'd think they'd enjoy themselves. They're just as anxious as I am. They've filed with Columbia Gas to get paid through them. Columbia Gas made that offer about a week or two into it. But one of the my problems with that is Columbia Gas then turned around to have headhunters call them to find them employment elsewhere.
You mean so they wouldn't have to pay them?
Exactly. So I don't know how many, you know, took up that offer of finding employment elsewhere. I'll find out in a couple of days when I sit down and have a meeting.
Have you filed claims with Columbia Gas?
I have. I opened the claim up. They have forwarded me about 10 grand to help with some of the business bills and stuff.
Okay, so how much has this cost you, do you think?
I don't know. I know I have absolute zip in my bank account right now. I have nothing. I had 30 grand in there, but that's the normal operating budget.
What would you have brought in these 6 weeks that you think you might have lost?
Probably around $80,000 to $100,000. A lot of that's fantasy money. I only get to keep a fraction of that.
Are you confident that Columbia Gas will be able to help you, or just confident in general, I guess, that you'll be able to get things back to normal?
My biggest fear is Columbia Gas is just, they've gone through several companies trying to manage this. The last company just came on a couple of days ago. They went from replacing all the restaurant equipment to now repairing restaurant equipment. So I'm still waiting on to see exactly how they're going to handle my equipment here. The next step is to open up and get people coming back. I'm in Lawrence. I'm in, you know, a great, great old mill city, but it's a depressed city. I claw and scratch 80% of my business in from Andover and North Andover. And they come in and, you know, they love the place and everything else. But my fear is they've moved on. They've moved on to other places. Their habits have changed. And I'm just going to, I've lost a business that built up for 20 years.
Well, John Farrington, owner of Carlene's Coffee Shop in Lawrence, best of luck to you, and I hope that it can work out to you, work out for you at some point. Thanks for telling us about what's going on for you.
Thank you.
I do want to say we did reach out to Columbia Gas for a response to John Farrington's allegation that the company had headhunters contacting his employees, but we have not received a response from Columbia Gas. And there was some good news today for a mainstay in South Lawrence, St. Patrick's Catholic Church. Father Paul O'Brien tells us that gas service to the main church itself was fully restored just in the past 24 hours, but he says this is mixed news.
We had both the gas restored a few days ago and then the work that needed to be done inside the church completed. So quite amazingly, on a pretty cold morning, we actually had a heated church. So great blessing.
Right. But you still have other big buildings that do not have gas.
We do. We have a large meal center from which we serve 250,000 meals a year. It still doesn't have gas, but it was converted to propane by Columbia Gas a few weeks ago. So we've actually been able to, thank God, serve hot meals, breakfast and dinner every day through the Corona Meal Center. Excuse me. We have a large, about 30-plus room office and rectory building that has no gas, and we have a huge parish center that includes a big basketball court and other meeting spaces that also is without gas. Hmm. So in the immediate aftermath of the explosions, we actually continued to serve meals without gas. So we put together bag meals for breakfast and dinner and were able to distribute them from the meal center. We weren't able to host meals in the dining room. About 10 days after the explosions, Columbia Gas successfully converted the entire building to propane.
Mm-hmm. And how many would you say that you've been serving since you were able to do it with propane?
It's hundreds of people every breakfast and every dinner. So we have a lot of new faces, people who presumably would not need our services if they did have gas service. Well, it's also interesting to see that there are plenty of regular guests who are not around because they either have gotten temporary housing without transportation or because they've just moved elsewhere for the duration until hopefully the the gas comes back.
Hmm. Now, you're in a neighborhood that was really hit by these explosions.
Yes, we're the epicenter. My parish encompasses South Lawrence, which is the half of Lawrence that lost the gas.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the neighborhood look like right now?
The neighborhood looks a little bit like regular life, but it really does look like a disaster area. Every single street has been ripped up. There are excavators and gas crews and pavers around any corner at any given day at this point. So it really does look like a unique natural disaster. In this case, it was an industrial disaster took place. Not so much the joke is that you need to get somewhere and you just point your car in that direction and one street after another is blocked off. You have no idea how you'll get from here to mm-hmm. there, but you just drive until you get there. We have no idea when this is going to come back on. Mm-hmm. We're given ballparks, but it's very hard to know.
So what do you think of this date of November 19th that Columbia Gas has said? Do you think?
Everybody is hoping that that date will pan out. I don't think anyone is expecting that it will. And the news this week is that Columbia Gas and other officials are suggesting this may not be as quick as they hoped it would be. Mm-hmm. And again, it's understandable. Everyone knows that most of our buildings have structural issues and have code issues. So we're not talking about Beverly Hills. This is an old city with old buildings, and a lot of them are not in good condition. No one, I think, is shaking their fists at reality and saying, how can this be? But it's just very, very difficult to try to be raising kids, particularly if you're a single mom, to have no good idea when you're going to be able to have hot water again, have heat again. So even if you've moved into temporary housing, which something like 7,000 people have, it's an anxiety-ridden time.
Father Paul O'Brien, pastor of St. Patrick Church in Lawrence, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Stay with us. Coming up, we'll hear from both candidates running for Suffolk County District Attorney. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.